I would say we have almost everything except the forearm. We have nothing that we've seen so far that's a hand. And then we have not so much that is part of the skull. We have some of the beak and we have some of the top of the skull, but not everything else.
Hey, I'm Gabriel Spitzer. This is Sound Effect on CanKX, and I'm hanging out at the Burke Museum in Seattle with Christian Sedor. He's showing me some 220 million year old bones.
Yeah, so shuvasaurids are a really strange type of animal. They've only been known for about 20 years or so, and for most of that time, we really had only one example. When they were first described, they were actually thought to be relatives of dinosaurs. But then you get down to some details of the ankle bones, and that's where you can really tell that this animal is actually a crocodile relative as opposed to a dinosaur relative.
This is probably one of the most complete skeletons of one of these things in the entire world. But it's still missing a bunch of stuff, which in paleontology is pretty much par for the course.
All of these bones, for the most part, have disarticulated. And so that means that the skeleton is not preserved like a roadkill. It's actually like you put it into a blender and dumped it all out in a slurry at the end. And so that's what we're finding in this quarry, is we're finding a gooey matrix that has hardened up. You know, some of them are lying flat, some of them are vertical. So there's about 25 of them, but their skeletons are completely jumbled together.
So how common is it in paleontology to have pieces missing from a specimen that you find?
I would say the vast majority of the time, you very rarely get the entire skeleton.
When you have an incomplete skeleton, what have paleontologists and curators done to fill in the gaps?
What we're doing with a lot of this material is we're actually scanning it in some way. And so it could either be a surface scan, which would be either a laser scan or a light scanner, or we actually put it into a CT machine and then we print the model that way.
So this is one of two printers we have here at the Burke. This one we call Printy McPrintface. That was named by students. And the other is our Burke bot.
This human is Meredith Riven. She's a collections manager and keeper of the 3D printers. Printy McPrintface here is working on a mammoth right now, while its cousin prints shuvasaurid bones in another building. Meredith picks up a lumpy off-white bone to show me the kind of stuff it can do.
This is humerus of a dolphin ancestor, and it's a holotype, so we have just one specimen, and this particular specimen is also going to be 3D reconstructed so that we can hang it from the ceiling. When you have a one-of-a-kind specimen, you don't necessarily want to hang it from the ceiling, so that's what we're doing with this individual.
It used to be that when you had empty spaces in a skeleton, you'd pay a sculptor to fashion the missing pieces out of plaster. Now researchers are more and more just printing the pieces they need. And unless you happen to be a sculptor, that's had a bunch of benefits.
I think from a research perspective, it's probably the scans that are the most useful. And so that's a digital file that we can send anywhere in the world and share with colleagues instantly. We have been shipping specimens back and forth, but of course that always comes with some risk. And sometimes things get damaged, even lost in the mail. And so we try to avoid that as much as possible.
And I would guess that means the museum in China could then take your scan and print their own copy.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. We hope to be able to do that eventually, that some of these, especially things like mammoths, that we can just share them with classrooms and teachers will be able to print out mammoths with their students.
Whoa, you could just download a mammoth.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, and it's especially powerful if it's a mammoth that came from your town.
So much of paleontology is like putting together a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle when 3/4 of the pieces got lost, say a 250 million years ago. But Christian Sedor says the printing technology is letting them see the whole picture come together in new ways.
We've been working at this quarry for 5 years, and there are certain elements that are just, for whatever reason, maybe they're really fragile, or maybe we just haven't had the eye for them. But this last couple of years, I've said, okay, these are the bones that we don't have in this display. These are the ones we need. And we actually were able to come up with a couple of really great bones this summer. So, for example, this little calcaneum, we didn't have one of these before, but this is one of the heel bones. It was broken in the field before we got there, but we'll 3D scan it, and then we'll print another side to actually have it for the specimen for the mount.
Today on Sound Effect, our theme, is missing pieces, stories of the lengths people will go to fill in the gaps in the puzzle, whether that's a skeleton or a collection or a family. Stick around.